Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning, we are joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, normally from 8 to 8.30, but now Charles is becoming officially a part of the morning crew and getting his day rolling early. Charles, good morning. How are you?
Yes. Let's not make this a regular thing.
We'll see what we can do. We'll try not to do that. Charles Robinson brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. So, Charles, we've talked a lot about the Titans in the quarterback position. We know that Will Levis is coming in, and we'll see when Will Levis exactly gets on the field. But right now, at the moment, Ryan Tannehill is the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. How important do you think this year is for him, for his future in the NFL? Be that with the Titans or be that elsewhere in just trying to prove that he's still a starting quarterback somewhere in this league, because we were looking around the league, and if the Titans, for whatever reason, decided to move on from Tannehill like right now or cut him, like, is there anywhere that he would go at the moment where he would actually be a starter based on the quarterback situations around the league? What do you make of kind of the predicament that Ryan Tannehill finds himself in right now?
Yeah, I don't know that there's an easy spot for him suddenly to become a starter. I mean, I don't know what you guys came up with, but you obviously look at places where you have teams that are leaning on maybe younger guys that seem a little bit unproven, Sam Howell maybe in Washington. But I think one of the things that makes this really important for Ryan Tannehill having success at this stage of his career is that when you look out there and you look around, you just have a lot of teams that are rolling the dice this year on young players. There's not this massive, I guess, push out. You know, Atlanta, Desmond Ridder, it's like, okay, are they really going all in on Ridder this season? They are. And I think Washington's the same situation with Howell. And, you know, even Tampa, you know, feels like they're really pushing everything into the direction of Baker Mayfield for now. But, you know, I think one thing that Ryan Tannehill can look a field and say, well, why do I have to have a huge 2023? Because chances are a number of these guys aren't going to work out. And there definitely could be an opportunity in other places, you know, unless they're looking at a total reboot, which some of these franchises might be if some of these young quarterbacks don't work out. So he's not in a great spot. I think part of what went on before the draft with the Titans kind of poking around to see if there was a potential landing spot for him, if they were to move on from him. I don't know how successful that really was for them. I didn't get any indication from a few of the teams that I talked to that there was interest in picking him up, even if the Titans had landed, you know, a quarterback at that third spot and then we're ready to move on from Brian Tannehill. I don't know that a number of teams really would have been lining up for him, let alone, you know, what the salary is right now. That's another thing, too. He would have had to have significantly changed, I think, what his salary would have been if he would have played elsewhere.
You mentioned Washington. I mean, they're tanking for Caleb Williams, right? I mean, Washington's tanking. They wouldn't want a guy who's actually competent at quarterback because they want Caleb Williams next year, right?
You know, I'll put it to you this way. I mean, yeah, I'm not a big believer I'm not a big believer in Sam Howell, you know, given where he was drafted. I mean, it's, you know, modest success down the stretch. I don't know how much you watched him at the end of last season, the opportunities that he had. But, yeah, it doesn't feel like that's a team. I will say that what some of these teams we look at, let's say it's Atlanta, let's say it's Washington, you know, what if Justin Fields completely goes in the wrong direction for the Chicago Bears? You know, Tampa, that doesn't work out with their quarterback situation. Any of those teams, I think, even Green Bay, I think if Jordan Love, it completely falls apart, the Minnesota Vikings, it feels like this is going to be the last year of Kirk Cousins there. And, you know, so there's going to be potential for them to pivot as well. Yeah. Any of those teams that look like you'd think, hey, there's a chance that they're in the quarterback market in 2024. If they're not having a lot of success in 2023, I don't want to say they're going to tank, but I think they know the value of having the number one pick or maybe even the number two pick next year with Drake May coming out of North Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, because this is not like other leagues where there's like actual tank. I mean, the Blackhawks just stopped like shooting the puck at the net this year, and somehow they get rewarded with Connor Bedard. But like in this league, you know, you don't see it to that extent. But I do feel like we're going to see it. Like Tampa Bay. I know that they have Baker, but they seem like a great candidate to, you know, just gut it.
And get
the QB, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of age there. I mean, when you look at their roster, it feels very set up for a reboot. And it also feels like a situation where if they kind of see where things are going early on next season, I would expect them to be players at the trade deadline trying to unload probably as many players as they possibly could. I mean, I would agree with you that there's going to definitely be some scenarios out there, and, you know, we can't really tell right now. Every season's different. I can't even say, you look at the Los Angeles Rams, that's another team where, you know, listening to Aaron Donald say things like, you know, hey, a lot of young guys are really going to have to, you know, contribute this year. And all I know is I look at that roster, I'm like, I just see a ton of spots where people are going to have to play way over their head. Matt Stafford's going to have to be, you know, like we're going to have to be looking at the guy who played the majority of them winning the Super Bowl and the tail end of, you know, being in Detroit. I don't know if he's that guy anymore, but that's another franchise where if you said to me, hey, you know, the Rams are going to stack up and be a 3-14 team, would I be like, no way? No, I wouldn't. Not looking at the realities of what they need a number of people to do and how they need to play and some of the injuries they're recovering from. So it's going to be a really interesting season. And, you know, the 2024 draft is so loaded that it's not like just the quarterbacks are going to be, you know, attractive up there either. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr., Brock Bowers, there's a couple tackles. I mean, it's an absolutely going to be a different experience than the 2023 draft, particularly if your team that ends up picking in the top 10, 15 range. There's going to be a lot of premium players next year.
Charles Robinson with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Charles, we've talked to you a lot over the last couple of years about Deshaun Watson and all the stuff off the field and the contract and all those things. What about on the field? Like, we were talking about this earlier. I know that he missed basically 2 years, but he got in 6 games last year and he didn't look very good. Like, what do we think he is right now on the field, given everything that's gone on and transpired with him away from the field?
Well, it's a really important year, not only for him, but Kevin Stefanski. I think, you know, Andrew Berry is someone that it's an important year for him as well. But you look at this offseason, and first off, they have a really, really good team. Like, when you look at their two-deep depth chart, they're pretty loaded. I mean, there's a ton of talent there. Some of it, you're like, okay, certain players, like Elijah Moore, has a ton of talent. He was in a really bad situation with the Jets. He has a chance to be a very, very good player for them. Their wide receiving core alone, when you look at the other pieces that they've added, you know, Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, Peoples Jones, Marquise Goodwin, David Bell. I mean, David Njoku, he's going to have a lot to work with in terms of throwing the football. You know, Nick Chubb being healthy, the offensive line being healthy. There's not going to be a lot of excuses there for Deshaun Watson. And we can look at last season and say, okay, well, there's a few different adjustments. There's an adjustment off the field. There's adjustment on the field, shaking off the rust. But they, you know, they bring in Josh Dobbs for him as a backup to help him prepare. They've done everything to support him at this stage. So it really needs to start to be that the tail end of that Houston experience, seeing a player who looks a lot like a all-pro, Pro Bowl level type player. And if that does not happen, fingers are going to get pointed, because everybody knows he's not going anywhere. It's like Russell Wilson last year in Denver. He wasn't going anywhere. The next most expendable person becomes who's designing the offense and calling the plays. That's Kevin Stefanski. And if it really, really, really goes terribly, I don't put it past ownership to go, well, you know what? We're going to point the finger at the general manager. We're going to point the finger at the chief strategist, Paul DePodesta. We're going to point the finger everywhere but us. And, I mean, it's not a season where Cleveland can struggle like they did last year. Some people will lose their jobs. Zero question about that.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson with Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We've got more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association.
All right, Charles, I know we've asked you a lot before we even knew that Will Levis was going to be a Nashville sports legend. You know, I asked you at times about Levis and the draft process, but I've been working on a story on him, so this is why this comes to mind for me. Is that, at this point, I got to say, I feel like the interview stuff, which, again, I know we asked you kind of earlier in the process about this whole he's tanking interviews. Man, I got to think at this point that's a lot of BS, intentional smoke to try to drop him. But then again, he didn't go to the second round. In retrospect on Levis, who obviously is of high interest here, you know, how do you view all of that stuff? What have you gathered on that? And, you know, I guess, what do you think about, you know, where he is moving forward here?
I mean, if it was meant to drop him, someone would take him. Like, you know, everybody, you know, he got passed by everybody, and there were opportunities at the end of the first round to, you know, for teams to move up and take him. So, you know, I think there's something there from the standpoint of, you know, there's a reason why the draft, you know, slide occurred. I don't think it was just this idea of, well, the left toe and his last year at Kentucky, you know, after, you know, losing the offensive coordinator and then some of the talent around him, you know, either having a drain or injuries or, you know, a multitude, you know, his age, a few different things. You talk to enough teams that I don't think it's impossible to see where they're coming from when you also match it up against some of the public comments you've seen Will Levis make, you know, things about when he talked to, look, I don't want to kill him just on based on a couple of clips that obviously a lot of people have seen, the whole, you know, do you want to attend the draft, and him saying, like, you know, if I'm paraphrasing here, but the whole idea, like, if I know I'm going to get picked, yeah, but you don't want to be one of those guys that, you know, slides and then has a camera on you the whole day. And, I think not being there the second day, deciding, hey, I'm not going to be around, I'm not going to stick around for this the second day, I'm out. Some teams are going to point to that and go, look, that's the entitlement we talked about. There's this element of, is he cocky or is he arrogant? You know, is he being realistic about the experience, or does he feel entitled to something that, you know, he has yet to fully earn on the NFL level? They picked at him for a lot of different reasons. And I would say that everybody is going to have their own different assessment of meetings that they didn't like, or they're going to put more weight into something that maybe other teams won't. But the fact is, he did. And he slid despite the fact that he's got, you know, significant tools, got a great arm. He definitely had the 2021 season for him was beyond remarkable. And, you know, it was a guy that some teams were saying, obviously, before this last season, he's a potential number one overall pick in this draft. So I would say it's, you know, I don't know. We've talked about the pre-draft process. I've criticized the fact that some things get looked into stupidly. But I will say this about quarterbacks. It's probably more real with quarterbacks in terms of attitude, how they present themselves, whether you feel like they can lead a group of grown men, you know, versus a lot of other positions where players are not thrust into a leadership spot. By the way, he's not alone here. I heard the same stuff about Kyler, about being, when he came into the draft, teams would say he's a baseball guy. And you'd be like, what does that mean? And they'd be like, well, baseball guys are just different. You know, the clubhouse is different than the locker room. You can be a little aloof. You can be a little selfish. You can be a little, you know, your vantage is constantly pointed inward. And that can play poorly once you get onto the NFL level. And I think since he's gotten into the NFL, those things have not stopped dogging him. People still think he's a little bit of a selfish guy and rubs his teammates the wrong way. And I think that's part of how teams assess Levis, that, you know, is he going to be someone who can step into a locker room and not be inwardly focused? He can be outwardly focused, and we'll see. Some guys, it's much ado about nothing. Other guys turn out to be like Jay Cutler. You can be monumentally talented, but everywhere you go, people are just kind of, you know, they think you're a little bit of a jerk, and we'll see what Levis ultimately turns into.
Charles, what do you make of the Washington and Chase Young situation? He has 7.5 sack. He's drafted number 2 overall his rookie year. And in the 2 years since then, he's played in 12 games and he's had 1.5 sacks to his name. And now Washington's not picked up his 5th-year option. What do you make of where that stands and what the future could look like for Chase Young?
Well, I mean, he could be Daniel Jones. I mean, it could be a situation where he doesn't have his 5th-year option picked up, and you know, a year from now, you have Washington sitting there going, well, geez, we wish we would have picked that up in retrospect. Maybe we didn't take into enough account that there were injuries over the last 2 years. I don't think it was just injuries in production. I think they paid, you know, Jonathan Allen, they paid Daron Payne. I think Montez Sweat is playing out his last year there, and they know I don't think conceivably they're going to be able to give contracts to all 4 players on their defensive line. And so they feel like they're going to have to make a decision here between either Sweat and Chase Young. The rookie season, there's no doubt. I think he flashed everything you would want, but there's just not a lot of substance the last 2 years. And he did play some games too. And I just think they sat there and they looked at the 5th-year option and thought that's a lot of money to commit to a player for the 5th year. And at this point, we could just let he and Sweat sort it out during the 2023 season. And if we can't get a long-term deal done with either, we just franchise tag the best one. And, you know, we'll move forward. And then the one we lose, you know, hopefully we'll sign a big deal and maybe we can get some, you know, draft compensation down the line, a compensatory pick or whatever. But there are a few guys in the 5th year class that from that 2020 draft that didn't have their option picked up that I think could have an opportunity to make a heck of a lot of money if, you know, they can really put it together in this season. A lot like, you know, like I said, Daniel Jones did last year. You know, Josh Jacobs was a guy who didn't have his 5th year picked up. There have been players that have reaped rewards on the other side. I think Young's the very, very top of that list. I've already had a team in the AFC who remarked, you know, was talking to a GM, and he was like, I would love for that guy to become available because we absolutely would love to pair him with a very stout defensive player they already have on their line. So there's an aspect of redemption and money there for him if he can put it together in 2023.
So it's NFL schedule release night, which has just become a national holiday. You know, all due respect to your league, Charles, give me the freaking email. Let me see the freaking schedules. I'm going to watch hockey and basketball playoffs. But it has credit to the league, man. They've done. I am excited, Charles. I see Chiefs are going to just annihilate the Lions on opening night to expose them right away. That's exciting. But one thing, you texted me before the show here. I did not realize that. The Chiefs are going to Germany twice? What's up with that?
Back to back years. Yeah, that's
back-to-back years. I got you. Okay. Yeah, I thought you meant twice this year. I'm like, dude, they're trying to, like, tank the Chiefs.
No. In back-to-back years. But I do think it's significant. I think it's interesting because I think it shows, like, financially, those international games, especially now that it's broadened a little bit, and, like, there's no doubt in my mind that the NFL has completely geared them to how can we make out financially in terms of continuing to carve out a space for TV deals? Everybody's like, oh, you know, it's about building your fan base. Over there. Yeah, I mean, really, it's about building your base enough to the point where you can sign lucrative deals. I don't think realistically there's any idea of having a, you know, European division or whatever. But, you know, from broadcasting rights aspect, you know, advertising aspect, all those different revenue streams, that's what this is about. And look, putting the Chiefs, what's interesting is they put them in international games of back-to-back years, but they put them in Germany. They didn't put them in London, which I think is, it's very interesting because you do have some people when you talk to, you know, different individuals across the league about the business side of the NFL who feel like the NFL is going to be very, very heavily leaning into the German market the next 10 years, that they feel like as much growth as that there has been in London, they feel like it's a little toppy right now. It's sort of topped out, and the explosion that's still there to be had is basically dominating Germany and sending the best, you know, most marketable stars to Germany. You know, I guess you could say London kind of already owns the Jaguars, which now that Lawrence is turning a corner is a really great thing for them. But I think they're going to be very focused. You know, Mahomes is the centerpiece of the league. They're going to want to get Mahomes into Germany as many times as possible in the next 10 years because they feel like, you know, that's where they can make a ton of inroads financially in that market. And I mean, as we saw in the game last year, it was pretty remarkable. We watched happen the whole, you know, John Denver Country Road moment was probably one of the craziest, you know, things I've ever seen in the middle of an international game. But yeah, it says something that they're saying we're going to take Patrick Mahomes and we're sending him to Germany for two straight years rather than London.
Charles Robinson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Thursday morning here on the show, normally from 8 to 8:30, 7 to 7:30 today. Charles, we appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Sounds good, guys. Have a good week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Charles buddy. Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. Lots to react to there from Charles. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Make sure you join 1025 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls, coming up on June the 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause, plus have loads of fun, and you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. You can sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game.